Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. If you're listening morning, afternoon, or evening, or late night, we come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we also link to our guests. We'll be giving you today's guest's website in just a few moments. Just want to let you know that, we are here regularly, as well as, of course, online. I kind of challenge the status quo sometimes when it comes to some of the protocols as far as what things are called. To me, they're archives. Some people call them podcasts. However, we don't have a system set up to where it's automatically sent to you. You got to do a little work. That's what life is all about. We all have to do a little work from time to time to move forward and what have you. It's not going to be handed to us, per se. There are times when, it'd be nice, but, we have to take the steps. Well, in life, that's just the way it is. So go to the website, richarddugan.com. We'd also love to hear from you. We'd love to have you send us an email. Let us know what you think of the programs, if you have any ideas, if you have any concerns. If there are some problems that you're encountering on the website, we'd like to know about them, too. And so the email address for the website is TMYS. That's for Tell Me Your Story, TMYS at richarddugan.com. And we would, again, love to hear from you and be able to answer any questions you might have. Always looking for interesting ideas. I mean, there are people all over the world who are doing amazing, amazing things to make their lives and the lives of the people around them better. And hopefully that translates into more of a community, state, national, international transformation. And that's really what we're looking for is those new ways of living, as we've talked about, those new paradigms and giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Well, I certainly hope that your alarm clock is working. I have mine set Monday through Friday to go off at 6 a.m., and then with the snooze alarm kicks off every 15 minutes thereafter until 7. Sometimes I get up at the first alarm, sometimes the second, sometimes the third, and if I'm not up by the fourth, I'm in serious trouble of being late to work. And basically, these alarms are there to tell you one thing, to wake up. That's right, wake up. Well, in this case, it's the title of a book, and it's also about the universe speaking to you. Wake up, the universe is speaking to you, and we're going to talk to you and our guest about how to learn to use the universal energy to change your life. Isn't that what we're trying to do? We're not really thrilled and exuberant about where our lives are. Or maybe we are, and we just want to tweak it a little. Well, we're going to talk with Nancy Urout, and she's the author of the book. And Nancy, I want to thank you via Skype for talking with us today. This is wonderful to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me on, Richard.
And, that might not be a bad idea. Maybe, although I have never been a fan of going to a website and automatically audio starts. But, the sound of an alarm clock when people click on the link to go to your website wouldn't be a bad idea,
There you go. I'll have to think about that. Yeah.
Although it could become very annoying, too.
Yeah. People can visit me at theenergyprofit.com. And if they want to send me an email, it's energygirlnancy@gmail.com.
Oh, I like that. Energygirlnancy. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about this. I mean, there are people that we would like to grab by the collar, by the lapels, for the guys that are out there that are doing stuff, and we want to shake them and say, will you please wake up? This isn't the way we do things anymore. And that's kind of where we're coming from as far as that's concerned. And I've said this on many occasions, so I'm going to share with you that when I started doing this program 10 years ago, this specific program, though I've been interviewing since 1979, 1980, I don't have a list of questions in front of me. The universe asks the questions. I'm just along for the ride.
And, very good. And, I like that, Richard.
And so, in a way, that's kind of what we're talking. Well, thank you. That's kind of what we're talking about here is is listening. And of course, so we're going to be getting into the subject, I am sure, of intuition. That has to come up, right?
Yeah.
Listening to that still small voice.
Yeah, exactly. Paying attention. And that's where the wake up comes from. I just want people to pay attention to what the universe is trying to show them. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
There are, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't there, even though we may not know them all, there are set rules in the, in the universe for the way that it operates and the way that we can operate in it and with it and for it and for ourselves and for others, right?
I think the issue is that people don't understand the rules of the game of how the universe functions. I don't think it's something that we talk about very often, and that people are not, when you go to school, nobody says, hey, by the way, start paying attention to what the universe is showing you. Look at the signs, mm-hmm. But nobody ever says that. And, I kind of figured out on my own that the universe was giving me different signs, and I learned how to use the energy for my benefit. And that's where this whole thing comes from.
I'm going to use an analogy and have you dovetail off of this, because it just seems to me to be very appropriate. And that is that I didn't start driving like most people at the age of 15 or 16, getting my license and so forth. I didn't get mine until I was 38. And I went down to the DMV and I got the manual and I read it a couple of times through, went in and I took the written test, missed three, but still passed.
Yeah.
Because the questions were a little tricky, but, they're not impossible to answer. And then of course I thought, if I really want to do this right, I'm gonna take a course. So at the time, I decided and I signed up for the Sears driving course, and I still remember my instructor's name, Mr. Klein, who, by the way, at the end of my driving experience with him, my course, said that if it were up to him, I would never get a license. I have a feeling that was more of a motivation than a criticism. I really do. But there's a manual, that, like I said, I picked up the driver's manual in the DMV and I read through it. And there are signs all over the place. We have street signs and we have signals and we have road painting, if you will, emblems and what have you to guide us on our way. Yellow and white and green and so on and so forth. But unless you know something I don't, which you probably do, I don't know of any manual for the rules of the universe. Please elaborate.
Well, I think as I started to figure out the rules, I started to refer back to the Bible. And what I realized when I put this book together, and this is like 20 years of learning this energy stuff and learning affirmations and how to draw things to myself and how to clear myself. When I actually sat down to write my story and what happened to me and how I figured all this stuff out, I found that a lot of the things that I had learned were actually in the Bible.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about some of the, we'll call them rules. We'll just kind of stick with that for right now. Operating in the universe, and maybe more specifically, rather than, okay, here's rule number one, and by the time we get to the end of the show, rule 697.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those rules that we can look to change our lives. And I'm going to give you another analogy that I came up with many years ago. And you don't know this, but I used to work for 15 years early in my career. For 15 years, I worked for a Christian radio station.
Okay.
And my observations near the end of that that time were basically summed up by this analogy because of the things that I was hearing and seeing and experiencing. That you have this individual, male or female, who's walking through this meadow. And he's very contrite and very humble, and he has his hands cupped out in front of him, carrying, basically, if you can materialize it, his will in his hands, okay? And he's muttering to himself, I just want to do God's will, I just want to do God's will. And he tosses it up in the air towards God, so to speak. Yeah. Now, God, watching from above, as it were, is in tears, moved that one of his creation wants to do his, God's will. He catches the individual's will in his hands, and he is compressing it down into the size of a baseball. And then he hurls it back at this individual, smacking the individual right in the head with the words, "Then do something with the life I gave you. You are not a puppet on a string being manipulated by forces you do not understand." Is that a fair assessment of...
Wow.
of listening to the universe. Yeah, they also no, the concept
know.
Is two by four.
That's kind of a different one. Let me give you a kind of an idea. Should I give a little background on how I kind of figured this out? And you want to know
Go
different
for it.
Things you're asking me. Sure. You know, I learned how the universe worked out of sheer necessity. I was a single mom with two little kids, and I needed to make money. And I had gone to church as a child, and I had gone to Sunday school, and I knew all the little Bible stories, but I really hadn't been a very spiritual person. And I, like many people, until I got to a situation where I really needed our Creator's help, didn't pray very often and didn't know too much about faith. I had heard about faith, but, you know, didn't practice it. You know, when I got into the real estate industry, I needed to make money. And I basically needed to draw business to myself. And what I learned in the very beginning was that I could visualize and I could draw business to myself. Now, you can draw anything to yourself as long as you have the faith, and that's where you have to have faith that you'll receive it, and you have to know what it feels like when you get it. I learned to do this very well, and I learned to do it in business because I had to take care of my kids, okay? So then I learned I could do it in other ways. And then I started to wonder, why does this work? When I visualize selling a home or a piece of land and I see the closing, and I have to do the work. And your analogy, you know, what I think of when you talk about your analogy is, yes, I could draw the business to myself, and the Creator could, the energy of the universe, however you want to call it, could give it to me, but I still had to do the deal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's how I look at that portion of it. We have our work to do too. But, you know, I wondered, why is this working? And what I've learned over time is it's the energy of your words. It's the vibration, the energy of your thoughts that go out into the universe and create our worlds. And we create them ourselves. And, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to what they say. They're very off the cuff. They don't pay attention to what they think. You know, if you say, "I will never be successful," over and over, the universe picks up that vibration and it gives you back exactly what you asked for. You can call it karma. You can call it the yin and the yang, the balance of the universe. But that's how this works. So if you want to be successful, you have to believe that you're successful. And if you want to draw something to you, you have to have the faith and the energy. Here's the thing. You can't fool the universe. If you are truly grateful for something, Richard, the universe picks up on that grateful energy and it rewards you. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. Yes.
Very and much. So it's the same thing with anything. If you are, your intentions have to be pure and good. I believe that our Creator set the universe up in this fashion to help us. And the thing is, people don't realize it's there for our use and it's free.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I agree with you in that respect. I think that it's one of those elements where, you know, we're still learning. I mean, as far as even using the Bible as your guidebook, if you will, your manual, as we're talking here.
Well, I mean, I use the Dalai Lama too.
Oh, sure.
You know, wasn't so. I mean, I use different avenues because I'm pretty broad-minded.
Right.
But I guess what I want to say is, you know, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but let me just quote this so people kind of get where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. I talk about the spoken word, and it's interesting. In Matthew 12:36, it says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Mm-hmm. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And if I could just teach people to pay attention to what they say.
Mm-hmm. There are power in words, and
that's right.
I have to say that after going through the process we went through in 2015-16, and I've observed this all my life, even before I was of age to vote, okay? I would listen to candidates. It didn't matter on what level, okay? It didn't matter. And I often would listen to them. And of course, as I was always raised to speak the truth. I was always raised, you know, with that old wonderful wife's that old wonderful admonition. If, you know, if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. Right.
Right.
And that people are, you know, and when you give someone your word, you keep it. OK. Otherwise, no one's going to trust you. And so when I started listening, and again, I'm specifically speaking here of the political realm, but this is in every realm of our lives, and it goes to your point, I would hear people saying things on TV and on the campaign trail and in the newspapers and on the radio, and then they would get into office and all that stuff went right out the window. And I would start talking with people about this, and older folks other than myself, you know, older than myself, mm-hmm. would say, well, now, come on. You know, don't worry about that. That's just politics. And as I began to grow in my spiritual and metaphysical self, I began to respond to that statement by saying, no, I'm sorry. But either you meant what you said on the campaign trail or you didn't. Why did you say those words? Well, of course, you said those words to get elected. Then you had an intent. And those words had meaning and power. And so, and I have to say that specifically during this last cycle, with all of the caustic vocabulary that has been used, that's out there. That is out there.
And, but you know what, Richard? I want to interject
sure.
if you don't mind. I just want to tell you something that I've learned over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people have as well. And if they haven't, let me hip you. You know, all these, when you say things
mm-hmm.
and when you do things, that vibration does go out into the universe. Mm-hmm. And when you are dishonest, the universe picks up on the dishonest energy, just like it picks up on the positive energy. The universe gives us whatever we put out. So if you are not honest and you are, you say things that you don't mean, people do get back what they put out. So don't think that energy that those people put out that wasn't honest, that energy will come back to them
mm-hmm.
tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this works.
Right.
And that's what's really interesting because, you know, if people understood the properties of the universe, they really would stop doing each other wrong. They would stop with the killing and they would stop with harming each other and they would stop with the gossip.
Yeah.
Because regardless of what, you know, people think, honestly, whatever you put out, you get back. So
yeah.
if you are consistently putting out negative vibes, it's eventually going to come around and get you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people call that karma. I call it the universal energy and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always say to people say, oh, this person did me wrong. And I used to be the same way, Richard. I used to say, oh, I'm going to get back at them.
Mm.
I don't have to do anything at all.
No, not at all.
Our creator takes care of this for us.
Yeah.
So when, and I've seen it over and over and over, and the universe works consistently every single time. So if you put out love energy and good energy, that's what you get back.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree
it's
with you more.
Very simple.
Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more on that. And then sort of to bring this full circle, let me ask you, as far as, again, going back to the rules of the universe, what have you learned in this context, as far as as we're speaking here in this regard, what have you learned on how to protect oneself from that kind of onslaught? Now, I've always counseled people that if you're, you know, that there are two old wives' tales that I have found are, you know, sayings, if you will, old sayings that are lies. Number one is sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Lie. They do damage. But this goes to the question I'm going to ask you in just a moment. And it has to do with protecting oneself. How have you learned to do that in your life in terms of that onslaught. Now, certainly, I can, as far as the whole political thing, I just turn the TV, turn the radio off, put down the newspaper, don't look on the internet at the news stories. That's a good start. What have you found in ways to maintain a level of self-encouragement and inspiration so that you don't get stuck in a lot of it? Because a lot of people, that's one of their problems. They fall asleep because they get stuck in this stuff.
Yeah, and they're not paying attention. I'll tell you a quick story, a true story that happened to me. And I'll then, as I finish, I'll tell you some ways to clear yourself and to keep yourself cleared. When I got into the business, I was Rookie of the Year in New Mexico for my real estate. I was really good. I had my own company. I did very, very well. I was very successful. The more successful I became, for some reason, I could feel it. Things just weren't going. All of a sudden, everything like stopped. It came to a halt. I was making tons of money, doing a great job, and everything kind of went weird. And so I was lucky that I was in a spiritual place in New Mexico, and I went to see this Native American lady. And I said, hey, you know, and I went for a basically like a reading, you know, what's going on here? I'm very successful. And she just looked at me and she said, you are being sent really negative energy because people are very jealous of you. So you see, when you're successful, you do have people that don't like successful people. And she said, they're sending you negative energy. She said, you need to go get a book on energy vampires. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, don't you realize there are people out there that send you negative energy and that can also steal your positive energy, that can steal your light? And I said, no, I had no idea. And she said, you need to go get a book and read it and understand that there are these type of people. And we'll talk about, I'll talk about energy vampires also. But I started to learn that I really needed to protect myself. Now, let me rewind. I used to protect myself when my kids were little. I would bubble us with white light, heavenly light. And it worked because I would go as a single mom and I'd go out and I'd need to do that. I've learned since then that I can put a white net of light around myself. That way I'm letting in good energy, but I'm keeping out the bad. And I visualize myself with a net of light everywhere I go. I have to, because there's so much negativity out there. I also learned how to clear my energy fields. Mm-hmm. Very simple thing that people can do is when they come home from work, get into a hot bath and put some sea salt in there. Put maybe a half a cup of sea salt and get in there and soak for 30 minutes. Throw some lavender in there if you have it, and it will clear your energy fields. There are different meditations that you can do that take 10 or 15 minutes. They're very simple that you can clear your energy fields. And Richard, the reason I mention all this is we are made of energy, mm-hmm. and people forget that. And there are, I of course use, being from New Mexico, again, I use a lot of white sage. Why? Because the Native Americans use it because of the properties within the smoke. Okay. And I will clear my home and I'll clear my car. And there are different affirmations that I will say, and they're in my book and you guys can check them out. But there are so many different things you can do. Now, if you don't have white sage, grab some cinnamon and put it on the stove with water and boil like 2 or 3 tablespoons of cinnamon and water. And what happens is that the steam that seeps out into your house will actually clear your home and it will clear your energy. There are so many different things you can do. So I learned out of necessity more than anything that gossip, negative talk, jealousy can really impact your life, and it can actually get you off of your path. It can actually stop your business. Isn't that crazy?
I'm not surprised. I mean, that stands with the reason. Let me ask you one other one that I'd heard about, because you've mentioned some wonderful ones. I'd never heard of before. Okay. What about, I'd heard that if you carry with you a specific stone, specifically like a smoky quartz crystal, something like that.
I have a black obsidian that I carry with me, and I talk about that in a book. I also do a chapter on stones. Everything has energy, right? So the stones are really wonderful to protect us. Yeah. And so I carry a black obsidian in my purse at all times. The people at the airport always kind of look at me, but they never say anything. It deters negative energy from, people shooting it at me. Yeah. I also studied with a wonderful man from Mexico who was a healer and taught me how to heal with my hands. And he always said to put a red ribbon around your stomach and tie it, that would help protect your chakras. He also taught to slap yourself in the back, kind of your lower back, where you're really open before you go out in public so that negative energy can't shoot into your base chakra, for example. So there's so many things that you can do, and people don't even realize that you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, and no one has to know. No one has to know.
Right. Exactly.
My only problem is everybody does know because I'm wheeling a wheelbarrow of stones around because I'm really concerned about being protected here. It gives a whole new name to the phrase, gives a whole new concept to the phrase, the old ball and chain. the other saying that I have is that is a lie is that you cannot change other people. That is not true. Now, let me explain that. And it kind of goes to what you've talked about, but the way I look at it is when you change yourself, okay, you are going to be changing the people around you in one of a minimum of two ways. Either A, they're going to like the change and want to be around you more, or B, they're not going to like the change in you and they're going to get as far away from you as you can. And in a manner of speaking, you've changed them.
Yeah, that's a good thing, though, Richard.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, that's my point. That is my point, is that you can change people and you can bring people into your life that support and encourage and sometimes even call you on your stuff, which is a good thing. But they're there to support you because you've drawn them to you. You just said before about energy, you know, and it's kind of weird, too, because you hear the phrases like attracts like. At the same time, opposites attract. It's like, okay, which is it? My brain is about to explode because I don't know which is which. And I know they have different applications. But it's so important. And I'm working on a book right now. I've been working on it for about, I don't know, 16 years. In it, I am talking about watching the things that you talk about, the words that you use. And we talked about words, that the power of words, but also talking about your personal input, to use a 21st century term, in terms of the things that you see and hear and even places that you go in terms of the things that you feel. And again, the people that you associate. You have the freedom of association or disassociation. It has nothing to do with discrimination. It has to do with choosing the people you want in your life, again, as I said, who are supporting you. Can we talk a little bit about how you can't choose your family, but you can, or your relatives? You can't choose your relatives, but you can choose your family. And how do we go about that?
Yeah, that's a tough one too. And I deal with that. And I think a lot of people do. You know, you can't choose your family, but if they are negative, you don't have to be around them. And when you do have to be around them, you can protect yourself. And you can also do cool things like put cinnamon on the stove and it kind of balances the energy and they have no idea. There are things you can do. I always say if you're around negative people, even if they are your family and sometimes they're the worst, you know, you just have to learn to clear yourself and try to stay away from them as much as possible. You know, I've seen a husband and wife where one is stealing the other's energy because they don't have the light and they're draining them of their positive energy. And, you know, after a long period of time, this can actually open up them to be more susceptible for disease, because what happens is it lowers your immune system. It lowers your energy, it lowers your vibration. Mm-hmm. And when you are, you know, you talked about being around negative people and I said, stay away from them. You know, a lot of times that's what you have to do. Sometimes you can't, you know, you're in the workplace and you have to be around negative people. But if you don't have to be, I really suggest you cut off those ties, because all you're doing is harming yourself and you're preventing yourself really from moving forward.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And we've all been in those situations. We may have even grown up in those kinds of situations. I'm curious as to your observations in terms of growing up. Specifically, I went through the public school system, 1 year in Catholic school, and then the other 11 years in public school. I'm not sure which was better or which was worse sometimes. It was an experience, and you know, it's and there you go. But I'm curious about your observations as to these kinds of situations where we find ourselves being overtly challenged, and I'm going to use a specific word in this regard. You know, being bullied in school, and I remember when I started doing interviews in the 80s and early 90s, and I started hearing I started doing interviews in regards to this. The first thought that went through my mind, I was thinking, my God, I'm 20 years away out of school. We're still dealing with this? I thought this was over. Well, it was over as far as I was concerned, because I wasn't being bullied anymore. But in terms of children who are faced with these kinds of situations, I got real good at track and field because I would run, okay? Flight or fight. And I didn't want to fight. I still don't. I don't like the drama. Or the pain. I'm curious as to how you would address the parents of children in situations like this, or maybe it's not bullying, but they come across a situation that they know inside. Kids know better than adults do. I mean, they haven't, the layers of life haven't been layered over their connection with the universe and listening to the guidance, if you will. So they know to leave, but yet then there's the peer pressure and, of course, all of other things. What do you tell kids and or parents of kids in terms of protecting the child? And I'm not talking about the child within here. I'm literally talking about young kids, young humans.
No, I'm with you completely. You know, there are things you can do. I taught my girls to bubble themselves when they were young. They used to tease me, you know, and I'd say, you know, put white light around yourself. Now they're older and they do it. It's hard with kids. One thing, I think you have to talk to your kids, and I think you have to teach your kids to stand up for themselves. I can remember, I'm just going to throw this out here, Richard, when you start talking about that, it made me think of a scenario that happened to me. I was, gosh, probably 18 years old, and I was in Detroit, Michigan, and it was a rock and roll concert, and I'm pretty small. I'm only about 5'3", and probably weighed 115 at the time, maybe 110 even, and I accidentally cut into a bathroom line. I didn't mean to, but it was, you know, it was like kind of snaked around the corner, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it was a concert. It was a bunch of girls and some rough girls, you know? And I got in line and I didn't realize. And then I got in there and this girl was really harassing me. And she just said, you know, what are you doing cutting in line? And who do you think you are? And I was pretty small. And I thought, oh my God, am I ever going to make it out of this bathroom? Right. Yeah, seriously, true story. Mm-hmm. And this was a wonderful lesson because I learned something and I'm going to tell your audience. So all of a sudden, I just knew what to do. My intuition told me to stand up to this girl. I use my gut. I use mm-hmm. my intuition. And I stood up to her and I said, look, you know, you're not going to do anything. I'm here to use the bathroom. I'm here to see a concert. I suggest you be on your way or whatever I said. Right. I just stood up to her. And she was way bigger than me. And it just floored her. And she walked away. She left me alone.
Yeah.
So I learned when I was young, I guess, to stand up for myself mm-hmm. and to use my gut and to use my intuition. And I think that's what people have to do instead of being bullied, instead of going along with the crowd. And I know it's easier to go along with the crowd, but use your intuition. That's why our Creator gave it to us. So yeah. We know what to do. And, you know, here I was. I had no idea what I was going to do, but I felt, you know, and I used it. Now, as I've gotten older, I've learned how to use my intuition more, and I'm very intuitive, and I know things. Sometimes I wish I didn't, but I do. But the more you use it, you know, the more that's why it's there. It's yeah. there to help us.
Yeah.
So if anything, I would tell parents to teach your children how to use their intuition and to stand up for themselves and be proud of who they are, you know?
Yeah. Trust it. Use it. Don't be afraid of it. And don't be ashamed of it either. You know,
yeah,
you don't have to wear a sign or a pin saying, I am using my intuition. You don't have to go that far, but but you know, because it's an internal process. I have to tell you a couple things. Number one is that sometimes there are that the universe speaks to us, and it's very subtle, and we may never know the reason why the instruction was given. But it is. I remember going through a personal growth and development program back in the 90s with my first wife, and I remember them having us write down a statement on this big piece of paper, of construction paper, which I still have to this day. And it had to do with this subject. And my statement was basically, I still remember to this day, that I will listen to, and that was basically in script, and then the rest of it was in all caps, and follow, and then back to script, the promptings of my still small voice or inner voice or what have you. Because it doesn't do any good to listen if you're not, I mean, I jokingly say, if you're not going to follow the promptings, why are you listening? You know, but the universe is always talking to us, whether we follow the promptings or not. The universe is always saying, hey, I had a situation. I was bicycling to work one day when I was living in Phoenix, and I was getting this prompting. OK, up here at this next corner, I want you to turn right, go up a block, and then turn left and continue on. And I ignored it, and I kept on going straight. All right. No. And about halfway between that corner where I should have turned right and the next corner, it was nagging at me. It would not let me go. I literally turned around, went back to that corner. And of course, in this case, I made a left, then up to the next corner, made a left, and then went on to work. I don't know what I avoided. I have no clue as to why. All I know is that it was just a question of, hey, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And am I correct? The universe
Absolutely.
Will not lead you into harm's way. Am I correct in that?
No, I agree with that completely. We have to pay attention. And, you know, it's interesting. I talk about numbers, and you've given a great story there, and I'll give you a couple examples too. I started to pay attention to numbers. Why? Because the same number kept coming up over and over and over.
Wow.
And I kept thinking, why is this coming up? And I started to pay attention to what the universe was showing me. And it's interesting. One set of numbers will always come up to confirm that I'm on the right path. And if I've made a bad purchase or I've done something that isn't, flowing properly, I get another set of numbers. Like my children were born on the same day, but different months. So my grandson was born on the same day, a different month. Every time that number is in my checking account, and it's my driver's license, my license plate on the back of my car adds up to that number.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while, you start to pay attention. And that's why I say wake up, because I'll drive down the road and I'll see my number and I'll know that I'm doing the right thing and I'm on the right path. It's confirmation
mm-hmm.
that you are on the right path. Now, when things in life don't go so smoothly for you, you need to change it up because you're not on the right path. Because what happens is, and this is the way the universe works, the universe will put you in the same situation, whether it's in a relationship, personal, or in business. You will be in that situation over and over with different people,
mm-hmm.
maybe in different places, but it's always going to be the same scenario until you learn your lesson.
Mm.
And I put a chapter in my book, we all have lessons to learn. That's why we're here. We're here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the universe will keep presenting us with the same lesson until we get the lesson. Once we get it, then we're able to move forward. And so that's why I say you really have to pay attention to what the universe is showing you. If it's presenting to you the same thing again, but a different scenario or different person, but the same scenario, I guess I should say, with a different person or maybe a different location, you've got to change something about yourself.
Well, I had a situation with an employer, a manager who showed up at the transmitter site where I was working, dragged me into the transmitter room to basically ream me a new one because I had moved some furniture that I was told not to move unless I got his authorization. Now, the problem was that in the reaming, I had completely forgotten that I was moving the furniture for the purposes of vacuuming and cleaning the transmitter site. I couldn't sleep for 3 days. Finally, on the third day, I called him. I says, you need to come out here. I need to talk to you about this situation. I explained to him what had happened. He was profusely apologetic. Now, carry forward 20 years. I was working for a different station, same market. A company purchased the station I was working for and the station he was working for. They moved his station into my suite. One day, in having a confrontation with the chief engineer, I was hauled into the first station general manager's office where he, the general manager that I had had the reaming from, was sitting silently. And I thought, this feels familiar. Yeah. The first general manager began to circle the room and trying to ream me a new one. And I sat in what they call open body posture, where you have your hands on your knees and your feet flat on the floor.
Right. You didn't cross your arms.
I did not cross my arms. And I have to tell you, it was such a familiar scenario. And I had such a different perspective. It took everything in my being not to laugh. I was about ready to burst because I thought, I'm not there anymore.
It's a do-over, huh?
It's a do-over, but this time I'm not being sucked in. And I know that I didn't do anything wrong the first time, and I didn't do anything wrong this time. I was doing my job. And he went and circled the room and ranting and raving. And finally he said, all right, now get out of here. And it's like, wow, I think I passed.
It's true. And, you know, I tell people this for relationships, because a lot of times I'll talk to people and they'll say, I can't meet the right person. And then what they're doing is they're drawing in the same type of person over and over and over, because they have to learn something about themselves. And once they do, then they're able to move forward and meet the right person. And I see that a lot.
Isn't there also the aspect of unfinished business? And in this case, with the first general manager from the first station earlier in my career, there he is again, 15, 20 years later. And and that's kind of what I thought. I thought, okay, when it was over, and then, of course, then the stations were sold and they let everybody go and I moved on. I realized, fine. I think I'm finished. I have no more business with this man or this station or this group. I'm done.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. Wake up. The universe is speaking to you. Nancy Yearout is my guest. We're going to talk more about learning to use the universal energy to change your life. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Thank you so much for staying with us and learning what you can. That's what it's all about. I'm curious, Nancy Yearout, who is the author of Wake Up, give me that website one more time before I ask this question.
Yeah, you can visit me at theenergyprofit.com, or you can email me at energygirlnancy@gmail.com.
I really like that email address, energygirlnancy.
Thanks.
And again, it's at Gmail, correct? Gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
Energy Profit. Let me ask you how you came up with that.
You know, it's funny. My daughter did. I said, you know, I'm giving the word. I want to teach about our creator. I want to teach about how universe works. I want to help people. And she's like, gosh, you know, you sound like a prophet, like you're trying to deliver, a word, the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. And so it just worked and it felt right. So I went with it.
Well, and sometimes kids, they will give us some of the most incredible things that if we don't, you know, we need to listen to them too. Because a lot of times, this is interesting. The universe, as you said, speaks to us in so many different ways. And you talked about numbers guiding you along and letting you know that you're on the right path and so forth. For me, it is deja vu experiences. Now, when I was 7 and I was sitting in Mass, and it started earlier in the day, but at that point I became very much aware of it. I noticed that I kept turning and I'm going, I've been here before. I've been here before. I've been in the church before, sure. But I was seeing scenes through my eyes that it's like, I've seen this before. This, you know, it's like I'm watching a rerun. And the day went like that. I mean, almost every time I turned around. And I thought I was going to go crazy. And what I began to experience as I got older is that those deja vu experiences where I think I've been here before, and I have never in my life been here before. The universe is basically saying the same thing to me that it's saying to you with numbers. You're going in the right direction. Just keep on going. It's nothing more than confirmation that you're on the right path. Now, when I don't get them, I don't get cocky. Now, this goes to something you said earlier as well. I don't get cocky and go, oh, good. Well, I'm doing really well. I'm just, you know, fantastic. You talked also about doing the things that you're doing and being that things come to you when you're gratitude
when
and
you're grateful.
Right,
yeah.
When you're grateful.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting twist. And I have to say that I remember interviewing someone regarding The Secret. And they told me that in the context of the interview that the people who put this thing together left something out. What they left out was, and intentionally or otherwise, was that The Secret is not about acquiring all kinds of stuff and position and what have you.
Right.
It's about drawing to you through your life's purpose process, shall we say, in humbleness, in gratitude and gratefulness, those things that the universe deems you will need along the way. Now, would I like to have this car, this house? Yeah, maybe. Sure, that would be great. Seven or eight digits before the decimal point in my bank account. Oh, that would be wonderful. But is that in my best interest? Is that really going to help me? And I think that's where what people lose sight of is that they think, and I have to tell you, when I was working for the Christian radio station, and I would hear that phrase about casting your bread upon the water, you know, and it'll come back to you 10, 100, 1,000 fold. Well, but it's kind of like someone came to me once, and I was born legally blind.
I read that, Richard. I read your story. I think that's really awesome. You've had a really interesting life.
Well, when I was working for the station, I had some people who wanted to come up, and this is where I was at that time. They wanted to come and pray for me, lay hands on me to restore my sight. And that was the phrase that they used.
Right.
And bear in mind, my sight was a lot worse when I was born, and I went through many surgeries. And I said, no, thank you. I appreciate it. I can't stop you from praying for me. But that's not my purpose in life, to be healed. My purpose in life is what I am doing. And I was working for them. I was serving them. I was providing them with production and on and on and on. And I still believe that to this day. To me, that's a wonderful side benefit. And of course, in 96, lens implant and I'm driving. But I think that
that's so fabulous. That's so fabulous.
Thank you. People get lost, though, in the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In the
Can
acquisition.
I talk about that?
Yes. I want you to talk about it. Please. Go ahead.
I want to tell you what happened. Well, because it happened to me, you know. I was, and I write this book because these are things that truly happened to me. And I want to share them with other people. You know, I did get everything I wanted. I got all the money and I had the house and I traveled and the kids grew up and I was able to send them to school and do all these things. But, you know, first of all, it's not about the stuff. And that's where we all lose sight. You know, once you get, people say, oh, once I get the car or once I get the house or once I'm able to do this or once I'm able to do that. No, that's not it. We're not going to get up there wherever you can call it heaven. You can call it to our next dimension, whatever it is. We're only here for a short amount of time. You know, our creator is not going to say, you know, well, what'd you accumulate down there? How'd you do? You know, how much stuff do you have? I mean, he's going to say, did you help somebody?
Yeah.
Or did you bring joy to anyone's life?
Mm-hmm.
Or were you giving? Were you kind? These are the things that we have totally forgotten about. We are spiritual people who have totally lost our way, in my opinion, Richard.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
That's why I'm talking about this, because I get so frustrated because I've lived it myself. And I can remember looking around at all my stuff and thinking, I don't have anybody to really share this with. At the time, I hadn't met my husband. And, you know, I just thought, well, what's it all worth? Because it's really not. What's mostly what the most important thing here today are people. And we've so forgotten that, you know, there are so many people that need help or would just, gosh, could use a kind word. I mean, when you go out into the world, everybody's got this really awful look on their face. If you just smile at somebody or tell somebody, you know, have a nice day or gosh, you look great today. Any kind of positive energy you can put out really actually helps our planet. Because I believe this, Richard, the more positive energy that we could all put out, if we all put out just a little bit, we could actually raise the vibration. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's happening here. You know, people, and this may be a little out there, but I really believe this. I think all of the negativity that we have swirling around out there is creating more negativity.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the weather situations have to do with the negative energy. Mm-hmm. That's going on in our planet right now. And I think people need to step back and forget about the material stuff. Forget about what you look like, because nobody really cares when you're gone, right?
That's true.
And what happens to all your stuff? I think people probably sell it, right? Or they try to get it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, we need to start paying attention. Wake up. You know, what's really important here? It's, you know, are we evolving our souls by being decent to other people and we're not? I go out into the world and I see people and they ignore each other. They don't say kind words to each other. They're rude. They cut you off in traffic. And the only thing I can say is change it up. Just because somebody else doesn't smile doesn't mean that you can't. And yeah. Just because somebody cuts you off doesn't mean that you can't say bless you and move forward. You know what I mean? Don't shout obscenities.
Yeah.
You know, go the other direction. Because I really, truly mean this. The more positive energy we can put out there, the better off we are. And the better off our children will be in the future. Because what we're doing is we're changing the vibration here on this planet. That's
yeah.
what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I hate to get down to the nitty gritty, but that's what it is.
No, we need to. I have to say that I had an experience on the road not too long ago that actually surprised daylights out of me as to the culmination. My wife and I were heading off to the store, and we were getting off the freeway, and we're the off ramp, and we're getting ready to turn on the street and everything. And the line was backed up a little bit, but there was also another line of traffic from the other direction that was merging into the same lane that we were. And this woman in this silver SUV, she was back far enough to where we should have been next in line. And she just, you know, kept moving, inching forward, you know, and I don't even think she saw us. And I just kind of sat there going, okay, fine. I mean, you know, the store is just around the corner. I could walk there faster than this line is going to move. So right. I'm not going to worry about it, you know. We go into the store, and this woman walks up behind me, and she says, excuse me, I'm glad I caught you. I wanted to tell you that I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Wow.
And I'm going, huh? Who? You know, first one, she said, excuse me, I need to talk to you. I'm going, oh, boy, who is this woman? And what does she want? You know, I was getting a little concerned, you know, just out of the
right.
blue.
Right.
And she's apologizing. And I'm thinking, okay, so what's my response going to be to this? You know, and I thought, okay. I responded to her basically, well, I very much appreciate your apology. I just want you to know that hey, nobody was hurt, and no, there was no accident or anything. So, you know, no harm, no foul. But again, thank you so much. I really do thank you for your for you know, going this far. And then she walked off. I never saw her again. And I was just, I was, my jaw dropped to the floor for the next 15 minutes as we're going through the store shopping. Just, you know, dragging on the floor there. It's like, wow. My wife couldn't believe it either. She wasn't around when it happened. She was off in one of the other aisles. And when I shared this with her, she's like, wow, that's wild. You know, that.
Yes. Yeah. But you know what, Richard? It's so sad because it used to be that nobody would even think of cutting you off.
Yeah. Or the phrase, you know, cutting you off, you know, you're just in line.
Didn't even exist, right? Exactly.
And I have to say that one of the other elements, too, is that the thing that, and I'm still working on this, just like everybody else. The other element is this whole aspect of what's referred to as cutting you off, you know, in that What's happened? You used the example earlier of yourself just accidentally getting ahead in a line. You didn't do it on purpose and having to have that little confrontation with the young gal. Whatever happened with people being patient and just waiting their turn? I'm speaking here idealistically, you know, if the world were perfect. But that's always been a concern of mine. It's like, really, are you quite honestly, and I really try not to charge the comment as someone is flying, you know, wanting to get ahead of us because, you know, they've got they're late for their meeting or getting home to the wife and kids or what have you. Try not to add any other derogatory comments. Go ahead. You know, get ahead because, gee.
But you know what, Richard? I call it the entitlement mindset.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I really do. And we're so hard on each other. And gosh, all there are other people. And if you're just kind, I mean, look at what a big difference that made when that lady came up she was kind to you. You know, it really makes a difference. And you don't see it very often. And if I can do anything to help people and change things, it's to tell them to put out good energy, just like that lady did towards you. Because it didn't only help you, it helped her.
Sure. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing, too, another analogy for you. I came up with, again, many years ago, and I share this on occasion, and that is that if the universe had wanted us to live solitary lives, I am pretty certain that there are enough planets in the universe that each one of us, 7.5 to close to 8 billion people, would have our own planet. But guess what? We're all here.
I know.
So what does that tell you? No, not that it's very crowded and I don't have enough room. It tells you that we're supposed to live and work and play together.
Right.
That's what it says to me. You know, hopefully it says that to other folks as well. But anyway, I just, we're all in process and in, you know, we're all working to try to better ourselves and better our homes and our families and our communities. And as that expands, and as you talked about, you know, putting out that good energy to help transform the world. The other old saying, not an old saying, but one of the things that I've been thinking about in terms of this book that you've put together, Wake Up. Again, the subtitle, The Universe is Speaking to You, and you can learn to use universal energy to change your life. My wife and I are both Reiki masters, and the way that it was described to us as far as the energy is that we become conduits. It's not coming from us directly. It's coming through us.
That's right.
But the real interesting aspect was that it's not something that you can control, i.e. to manipulate reality, so to speak. In other words, okay, Nancy, I understand you have a headache, so I'm going to send you Reiki energy to get rid of the headache. It doesn't work that way. I'm going to be the conduit to send you that energy to do with what you will. And I'll give you a great example. My father's brother was dying of cancer. And, of course, we had just become Reiki masters, so we wanted to do an absentee healing. My mother gave us a picture of him. So we had a little ceremony, and we began the process, and we went through and everything. And about 2-3 weeks later, we got the word that he had passed. And then we got a story about prior to his passing, where he'd gotten fed up with the medications and everything. And this was about the time we had sent that energy. And he had taken his medications. He was so fed up, so angry, he had the energy to throw them across the room against the wall, right?
Wow.
Got in his wheelchair and wheeled out of his room across the compound or what have you, where they live. I want to say down in Yuma, Arizona. Anyway, Miami, Arizona. And he wheeled across the compound to where his son was living. And they had their time, maybe time of closure, you know, and so forth. And shortly thereafter, he passed.
Right.
That's what he chose to do with that energy.
Right.
it's not about healing as much as it is about transformation. And it can be transformation in this life. You can use the energy. Or you can actually choose not to accept it and use it. So when you
know, Richard, go ahead. I always say, and I have to say this really
Please.
Quickly too, because I have talked to other people, and I have other, my children are powerful with the energy, and I've always taught them, you have the ability, especially my youngest daughter, she has the abilities like I do to use the energy. Well, we all do, but she has a gift. Mm-hmm. And I always tell her, you can use your energy for good, or you can use your energy for evil. We have a choice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that energy, like you sent your friend good energy before he died, and he was able to use that in a really positive way. That's wonderful. But it's always, you know, it's up to the individual, you know, and the only thing I can say is the more good, again, that we put out and give to others, the more it comes back to us.
Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about it is that I've even phrased it this way. And again, I think it's very important to be in that attitude of gratitude and gratefulness and humility and so forth. When you're in service, but the universe, it's an equation. There's giving and receiving. You have to have both. You can't just have right. givers, and you can't just have receivers. And the universe keeps it balanced. So when you're giving, it's not a question of, okay, when am I going to get back? Just relax. It's coming back. Just keep the giving going. You know, and I've noticed that in my own life. I'm sure you have as well, where sometimes you wonder, you know, you're going through a struggle, you know, maybe it's financial, maybe it's otherwise, or just situational, you know, you go, oh, I wish I could resolve this and da 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 da. But okay, I got to get back to this thing here. Maybe you'll say a little prayer. You just kind of put out the word, an affirmation, you know, and then you go off and do your thing. And sometimes it will take days or weeks, and sometimes it's almost instantaneous. The change happens. You go, wow, thank you. Oh, I am so grateful for that. I've had that happen on so many different occasions, and it's just been incredible.
Yeah, and I think that's where faith comes in. You know, the more I have had faith in our Creator, the better my life has become. It's infectious. Mm-hmm. When you actually have faith, and a lot of people say, and you talked about The Secret, and they'd say, oh, I did everything in The Secret, but it didn't work. Well, that's because you have to have faith, mm-hmm. and you have to believe that it'll happen. And that's half of it.
Yeah, right. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Because I Absolutely. Think people don't realize, you know, you can put out whatever kind of energy you want, but you have to have faith that, you know, these things will work like you want them to. And I always say, when you ask for something, don't be afraid to ask. And when you ask for something, know that you'll get what you want. Maybe not in your time frame, like mm-hmm. you were speaking of, Richard, but you will get it, mm-hmm. or you'll get something better.
There you go. There you go. And here's the other thing. I put out the intent of prosperity, okay? That's the intent I put out. Not of cash, checks, or money orders, but of prosperity. And sometimes it comes in cash, checks, or money orders. Other times it comes, and this is the way I viewed this when I was working for the Christian station. We had so many people coming to work for us when I was hiring people who would say, oh, you guys don't pay me enough to do this or that, clean the toilets or mop the floors, what have you. And I was doing these interviews, just like what I'm doing with you right now. And I would get a copy of the book, or I would get a CD of their music or their meditation, what have you, or what have you. And then I would do the interview, and I would have the cassette tape at that time and so forth. And I began to look at that and go, first of all, the station gave me this time I can use in the evening to fill with these interviews. And then I'm getting these materials from the guests. And then I'm getting these wonderful interviews and conversation and new contacts and relationships
right.
and information and interchange and so forth. You want to talk about prosperity? Boom. That was huge. I mean, it was just enormous. And so every time I have those kinds of angst about, you know, are we going to make it to the end of the month? And that something invariably happens that, voila, magically, it just appears. It just happens.
Right. That's true. That's exactly right. And that's how it's always worked for me, too. Once I started to use the energy and put out positive vibrations and have faith, because you do have to have faith in something bigger than you.
Yes.
That this isn't you. That was another thing, and I'll throw this out really quick. I thought that I had control. This was back in my 20s. I thought I could control everything, right?
Uh-huh.
I thought I was smart enough, and I thought I could just do it. And I learned very quickly, especially as I got a little bit older, that I have no control over anything. I'm not in control at all.
Well,
the universe is, yeah.
Exactly. And you know, it's interesting if we can get into that space, okay?
Right.
If we can
right.
get into that space where we acknowledge that we're not in control, okay, and live there. I've often heard this phrase. And whether it's regardless of whatever it is that you're asking for, become a part of the process. Don't try to control the process. Big difference, you know.
Or don't try to control the outcome because it's not up to us to control the outcome.
Yeah.
I think that's
expectations.
That's what I've learned.
We have expectations.
Yeah.
When you began the process of putting this work together, wake up, the universe is speaking to you, learn to use universal energy to change your life. What was the impetus? Why did you feel that at this time this was needed? I mean, we've kind of touched upon a lot of different reasons, but let's kind of hone down to that. And what about that?
Yeah. I just feel, well, first of all, I feel like in my heart and soul, I needed to get this information out to people because it really helped me. And if I would have known this when I was younger, it would have helped me more, I think. I just think we're in a crazy place right now on the planet. I think we have forgotten that we're spiritual people, and people have become, like I said before, so materialistic and so me, 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 and so entitlement and me first and all of this. And we really lost our way, and we really need to get back to basics and remember why we're here. And it's to learn, and it's to help each other, and it's, you know, to put good vibrations out. And again, you know, I don't want to see us destroy ourselves with the negativity. And if there's anything I can do to help give this information to people and explain to them, you know, you will be rewarded for the good that you do, and have faith, and you can have the life you want to have. It's totally up to us. We're our little creators. I don't know. People don't realize we are creating our own little worlds and our own realities, and we do have more power than we give ourselves credit for. We have the power and the ability to change things here for everybody, not just for us, but for our kids. And I would like to leave this place a little bit better than I found it, I guess, Richard, is my deal.
I'm beginning to shift away from the feelings that I've had over the last year, 18, 22, 24 months. And I've been asking the question, does the human race really deserve to continue? We've really mucked things up, you know, so badly. I just, you know, it's kind of like the landlord has had enough and you got to move. OK, enough is enough already. But I'm beginning to shift away from that much more so now, because I'm seeing so many more people. And in spite of the fact that I've been doing this for 10 years, and you think, oh, I should be much more enlightened and much more positive. But I get hammered a lot by a lot of the stuff that goes on around us, too. And I try to stay optimistic. I've always been a pretty optimistic person. And that's sort of, and that's coming back. Matter of fact, when 2016 went to 2017, and all of the externals aside, I actually felt and still feel, even to this day, very optimistic about my personal future, about my family's future, about the community in which I live, about the opportunities that are ahead. And maybe it's just because it's a new year and, you know, we always like to feel, oh, clean slate, we can start over. But not so much. It was more, I acknowledge the continuation and I want to continue. And like you, I want to leave something behind that matters and that has made a positive change.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to see us destroy ourselves. We need to get back to basics. Like I said, we need to realize who we are. And again, quit. I don't know if it's the media. I don't know if we just evolved so quickly. And, you know, people are just so about the material stuff. What kind of car do you drive? Where do you live? You know, I don't know. I look at people for people. I guess I've gotten to a point in my life, and I learned a long time in the real estate business, just because somebody isn't driving a new car and they're not dressed really well doesn't mean they're not a good person and don't have money to buy something. And that's what I see a lot of. I'll give you a quick example. This is a funny story. My husband and I went to this bed and breakfast a couple weeks ago, and we drove our old car. We didn't take our new one because we drove our old Jetta because it was just a long way and it was good on gas. And the people like looked at us like we couldn't afford to be there. It was so funny. And, you know, it's appearances, you know. Somebody may be completely different than what you think they are, but it's our judgmental of appearances and what do you have and where do you work and who do you know? My goodness, how about what are you inside? Are you a good person? Do you help others? Are you kind? Are you decent? Do you have integrity? We've lost what's really important. It's like it's flipped, Richard. It's mm-hmm. like it's backwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm really trying to make a difference, because I feel like you do that. I don't know. I feel like we only have a certain amount of time to get it together, and I'm just trying to help.
And I guess the other element that has that was kind of bogging me down too was I just felt like we're not progressing, we're not moving forward.
Right,
and
right.
And I have to say that in this case, the governmental process is a prime example of that, because every 4 years we elect someone, and it's if it's of the opposition party that was holding the head office of president, then the new guy comes in and undoes everything that the old other guy did. And then, of course, 4 years after that, it's the same cycle. And 4 years after that, it's the same cycle, and over and over and over again. And it's like, we're not getting anywhere. It's like two steps forward and two steps forward. No, it's like two steps backward and two steps forward and two steps backward and two steps forward. And it's like, stop it already. I'm not saying I want flying cars like in the Jetsons that I saw on the cartoons when I was a kid. I'm talking about us, as you talked about at the beginning of the program, living our lives awake and on purpose and with understanding and compassion and consideration for others, and creating things that are of such beauty as well as benefit to our society and our civilization. Because every time I turn around, I see a story about the destruction. And I understand, I do understand that even from a universal standpoint, I mean, you've got things flying all over the place out in the universe, right? And sometimes they collide. Boom! And so it destroys those two elements or what have you. But from that certainly comes something new. We don't know what it's going to be, but hey, it could be something pretty cool. You know, I guess they call it the chaos theory, something like that. Anyway,
yeah.
So we have to. So I'm much more optimistic today than I was. You know, like I said, a couple of years ago, and feeling, hey, we've got so much more to do, and I think that you're doing a great work through what you're doing, as well as from the book Wake Up, the Universe is Speaking to You. First of all, Nancy. You're out. I want to thank you so much for sharing so much of your time with us here on the program. And I encourage you that if you find yourself out of Texas and here on the West Coast, assuming we're still here and not washed away, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Well, thanks, Richard. I appreciate that. It was fun.
And second of all, three questions that I want to ask you before we wrap up the program that I ask all of my guests. And remind us one more time of that website. I just really like it. It's very cool.
TheEnergyProfit.com. And you can email me at energygirlnancy@gmail.com.
All right. TheEnergyProfit.com. By the way, what about NancyYearOut.com?
NancyYearOut.com is actually my blog. And I write a blog, and you can check that out as well. And cool. You can pick up my book at Amazon or at Barnes & Noble.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful. And a reminder to our listeners who are listening to the radio broadcast that there is more of this interview. As I've said many, many times, sometimes these interviews go on an additional 10 or 20 minutes. If you want to hear the whole thing, you need to go to richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and click on the interview, the play button, and listen to the whole thing. Nancy, before I let you go, first of all, who is Nancy Urot?
Well, I am out here trying to raise the vibration on the planet, and hopefully I'll do some good out there, Richard.
Second question is, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Well, and that's what I just told you. Mm-hmm. You know, I am a believer, and I've got a lot of faith, and I believe in us, and I believe that we can make a difference here if we all change it up a little bit. So hopefully I'll have some influence there.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
To spread the word, to let people know that there is a higher power, and we're only here for a short period of time, and to do the best we can while we're here.
I've often thought of that in the context of smoke. We love our little fireplace, and I was looking at it one day and realizing, you know what? My life is nothing more than that little puff of smoke right there. Mm-hmm. Because one moment it's here, and the next it's gone.
Gone. Yeah. Goes by quick.
And so does the time on this program. Again, thank you so much for sharing. And I hope that folks will contact you, read your blog, go to your website, theenergyprofit.com, and check out what you have to offer, as well as the book, Wake Up. And again, we look forward, hopefully, to seeing you here in the studio one day. And hopefully we'll stay in touch with the work that you're doing. I'm sure that we will touch base again soon.
I hope so. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate it.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.